Okay, so we're talking about dreams and how God valued your dream. And this is a man that I've been walking a road with for 3 months or 4 months now. 6 months, I don't know how many months. But anyway, so he's just going to tell you a story of how this dream actually became a reality. Because he's now the face of Mr. Price. Okay.
Hallo julle. Ek sal jou 'n voucher gee. Okay, gaan. Ja, gaan se. Ek is Barry, soos wat julle gesien het. Okay, ek gaan Afrikaans praat want my Engels is nie so great nie, maar okay. My pad het so begin deur wanneer dit iemand uit Thomas of Sjoe Jaco opstaan. Nou Thomas daar. Dit het eintlik 'n baie lank terug tyd begin met Thomas wat my ingeskryf het vir meneer George. En toe het ek op die ouene dit gewen. Ja, en met dit het ek kontrakte gekry na een agentskap toe. En van daar af het alles net soos ontplof en my pad het baie oper gemaak deur dit. En met dit het ek nou op die kompetisie afgekom. En aan die begin wou ek inskryf hier, want ek het gedink ek sal dit nooit maak hier. Ja, ek het een baie laag selfbeeld eintlik. En dit kom oor van kleins af af. Maar van toe af het ek net ingeskryf en ek het vir my kring gevra as julle ook net kan opstaan, dat allemaal kan sien wie hulle is. Elkeen vir julle. Ok, Paula en Faikie wat hier opgestaan het, dankie. En Erik en Ruben Kutse wat nou nie is hier. Ja, die man het 'n baie groot rol in my lewe gespeel en Amo ook en Johan en waar is Johan Herman? Hy ook. ja, soos ek het baie stress gehad deur die hele ding en toe ek uitgevind het, ek het soos die castings gemaak, toe was het om en by so 300-400 kinders uit 17,000 wat gekies was om terug, wat ja, op 6 plekke deur die land teruggeroep was. En toe het ons castings gegaan doen en ek was baie gestres en goed, want ek het nooit gedink ek gaan dit maak nie. En toe het ek net vir hulle gevra, hulle moet vir my bid en soos die kalmte wat oor my uitgekom, soos net gekom het en ek het geweet, soos die Here is by my en ek oor niks te stressie. En na die castinge was ek baie negatief ook geweest en het gevra dat hulle vir my bid en so aan. En hulle altyd vir my positief gehou het en my altyd dat lach het, terwyl ek negatief was alhoor. En toe, net so 2 weke daarna het ek uitgevind dat ek die top 20 gemaak het van die 17,000. So toe was ek eers en toe kan jy, dus dis waar jy rarig begin geloof, want hoe ek na die casting gevoel het, was het rarig, soos amazing geweest om die top 20 daar. En toe het ons een baie groot naweek gehad, die hele top 20 saam, en dit was een baie lang naweek, en toe het hulle net weer eens my gebid, en soos, dit was baie groter as die casting geweest, en om te sê, dat dit was later so, en ek was soos, later so gemakkelijk, dat ek lus was, om net voor die camera in te gaan, en net foto's te neem. Wat ek nooit rarig is, he. So ek wil net vir julle manne en vir Amo dankie sê, en ook net vir die Here, want wat hy vir my gedoen het, was regtig ongelooflik. En toe, soos 2 weke daarna, na daardie groot naweek, het ons uitgevind wie die wenners was, en ek het regtig, toe het ek net gedink, ek sal dit nie maak nie, want ons baie ouens, ek was die jongste gewees, van die top 20. So ja, en toe wen ek die mansafdeling, so daar is nou baie groot pad wat vir my voorlê, en soos baie verantwoordelikhede en vakanties wat opgeoffer moet word. Maar, ja, ek wil net dankie vir hulle sê, en soos dankie vir die Here sê, want as dit nie vir hom was, sou dit regtig nie gebeur het nie. Want ek, soos as ek nou my verlede kyk, verdien ek dit wat ek gekry het nou nie, en soos die pad wat ek nou gaan stap met hulle en als, gaan ek 'n verandering probeer maak, waar dan mense is wat nie regtig die Here ken nie, want omdat ek nou so baie blootstelling kry. So, ek wil net dankie vir hulle allemaal sê, en dankie vir die Here sê. Ja,
thanks. Thanks, Barry. Okay, so he made out of 17,000. He was voted as the best-looking male. Okay, that's basically what he said. And but just what's so amazing about Barry is just his vulnerability, and you don't really want to share with your friends all the detail about the castings and stuff, because there were so many, so much teasing going on in that WhatsApp group about Barry and what he's doing, and he's flexing his muscles and he's a gayfie and everything. But he still did it just because he understood the power of power of prayer. And yesterday we baptized him, and his mom was here from Jeffreys Bay. So I just want to honor you for the man of God that you are. And we're going to keep you like Simon prayed yesterday. We're going to keep you humble, buddy. Okay. But that just, it's a small story of somebody that put out his faith, took the risk, and then and God rewarded them. And he's going to use that influence for God. So there are many of you, like Greta this morning shared about how she's going to Oxford for a two-week, absolutely sponsored now. Huh? Do you have your 6,000? You lost 6,000 rand. Okay, great. She's buying a plane ticket now to go to Oxford for a summer school. Lots of pounds, but she made it because of God's grace in her life and a community that really loved her. And even they're going to sell cake for her afterwards. So if you have, I think it's £30 a piece, yeah? So if you want to buy a £30 piece, you're welcome to do that. Okay, but it's great. If you're dreaming about something, the best place to start is to get excited about somebody else's dream coming true. Okay. So let's go for that. So go to Barry, tell him that you want a discount or whatever. Okay, so I'm going to read quickly. Let's start with Judges 1, 18 to 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he took possession of the hill country, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. And we shared on that scripture last week. And it was about not only dreaming, not only having this idea, but actually starting to build something, to build your dream. Because it's actually a funny scenario. It's like God of the universe is with Judah, but they can't drive out the people of the plains. Why? Because the people of the plains, they've put their mind to making something, building something, and it's called the iron chariot. And they, even with God on their side, they couldn't drive out these people from the plains. So yes, God, it's all about loving God. It's all about experiencing God. But some of you must take whatever God has given you and you must build it. Give me this bow. Gana, build this warehouse, scoop apart tools, and just start building your dream. And if you think of building stuff, building an iron chariot, you'll need to mine the iron ore, you need to purify the iron, you need to get a plan together, you need to get some engineers involved, you need to a management team, you need money. All of that involves work. Yes, it's great to have a dream, it's great to have the presence of encounter with the Lord, but you need a dream, and then you need to work hard to accomplish that dream. I think sometimes especially we as charismatic Christians, we're like, yeah, if you can pray in tongues, that's amazing. I love praying in tongues. And if you can prophesy, that's amazing. Yes, and I love prophesying. And I love the presence of God. But sometimes we need to make a decision to start somewhere. We need to start building this iron chariot. And that involves hard work. So here's my first question for the night. Finish this sentence. Chat to the person next to you about this. Hard work causes what? Hard work causes what? What did you say on your net? Okay, just chat to the person next to you. Finish the sentence. Okay, great. So just keep that answer. Just keep that answer. Okay. So let's read another script. Genesis 1, 28. And God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So now God created humans, Adam and Eve. We all know them. We all have a love-hate relationship with them because they are great, great parents, but they also messed up. Do you know that? They're family, but they messed up. And God's giving them this mission. He's saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He's talking about having children. So if you're married, Craig and Renee, okay, you get, okay, so Luke and Monica, okay. And fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. So that word subdue it, that phrase subdue it and have dominion, it means to actually to start working what God has given you, the earth. Start working the ground. Start doing something with the plants and start conquering this piece of land that God has given you. So he has given us this mission to work it out on earth. It's part of our mission. Yes, great, make disciples of all nations, but then the first one that he gave us when we were still perfect in Adam and Eve was to subdue and to have dominion over the earth. It's this idea that we can take a piece of land and we can conquer that land and we can let it grow stuff. Okay, so keep that thought. Let's skip to Genesis 3:17-19 after the fall of man. So now they've sinned and God's speaking to them and he's saying this: the ground is cursed because of you. The earth that I gave you is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. You need to subdue and have dominion, but you're going to struggle now because of your sin. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, it's a cool saying, eh? By the sweat of your brow. Barry, it's like your move that you pull there. Fierce sweat off. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat. So now we have this mission to work the land, to conquer this planet, not in a sense where we misuse it, but in a sense where we use what the natural laws so that we can live from it. And then after the fall of man, God says, you know what, now it's going to take effort. And it's not only going to take effort, it's going to cause sweat. And sweat stinks. Moxa, take the person next to you. It's not a nice smell. So God has given us a mission, and now because of the curse, that mission becomes really difficult. Becomes really difficult. Okay. Let's look at Germany. Who of you know the country Germany? Okay. Who of you have German blood in you? Just so many of you. Okay. Okay, listen to this. In Germany, there was a poll that came out this year. It says 12% of the workforce have anxiety, depression, or burnout. Anxiety disorder, depression, or burnout. You should have read. 4.1 million of the workforce in the last 12 months suffered from anxiety disorder, depression, or burnout. It's costing Germany 19 billion euros per year. So what are we seeing that God told us to be great workers, to work hard. But then a curse came, and because of this curse, now people are falling off the rail. They're burning out. They're suffering depression. They're anxious. They have anxiety disorder. Whoever you are studying at the moment, some of you are sitting here and like, I feel like I'm one of that 4.1 million Germans. I definitely have German blood in me. I'm burning out. And then in this article that I read about the poll, it quotes this guy. It says, the Prussian Protestant work ethic, and we'll get to that, is extremely dominant here. It's talking about Germany, said Mazda Adli. So if you get a son, just call him Mazda Adli. That's an amazing name. A top stress doctor in Germany. You're a good citizen when you work a lot, And then you have a well-deserved good illness when you suffer from burnout. So he says it's part of the German culture to work hard. It's part of the German culture to work hard. And then you have you get a well-deserved illness, which they call burnout or depression or anxiety disorder, because of that thing that they working too hard. But something that's very interesting to me is that he says it's the Protestant work ethic. Do you know what the word Protestant means? It comes from the Reformation. Roman Catholics referred to the people that were linking up with Martin Luther and the guys. They called them the Protestants. And what happened with them is they started to understand that you can actually worship God through Jesus. You don't have to go through the church. And the moment that happened, they were like, wow, it's amazing. I can worship Jesus through my work. So what are you going to do when you know that studying tonight is worshiping Jesus? How are you going to, and you know and you love Jesus, you want to please him, what are you going to do? You're going to study harder. You're going to work harder. Why? Because you want to please Jesus. And that's what happened. Because that's a word for some of you tonight, okay? You need to go back home and you need to study harder, okay? Do you get this? Okay, so God moves upon the German people. He moves upon them. They get to know him. They're like, wow, I don't have to go to a priest to confess my sin and to get to know Jesus. I can just straight shoot to Jesus himself through faith. And now suddenly everything that I do becomes worship. Whether I play sport or whether I engineer a car, that is worship. So I want to do it to the best of my ability. But somewhere down the line, they leave Jesus. They leave the worship. Now there are only 3% evangelical Christians in Germany. So what happens? If you don't have the life force, but you're still working hard, what's going to happen? You're going to burn out. So that's a very important point for tonight. This article says hard work causes burnout, but we know that hard work causes the church to reach the nations and generations. And that's where we want to get to. Listen to this, Galatians 3:13. Actually, Tracy, thanks for that. Choice of songs, but you actually sang this tonight. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Okay? So we were cursed. We were supposed to not enjoy hard work. That's one of the things. If you're like, you're vegging there on your couch and just flipping through the channels or playing Xbox and you're like, you know what? That feeling that you have, it's very natural, it's very sinful. Just you even need to lay heel dag lang. Sometimes it's really enjoyable because you need to rest if you have. But if you want to stay there and remain there for the rest of your life, it's just you getting under this curse. But then Galatians 3:13 tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That means He takes away, not necessarily the sweat, but maybe the stinkiness of the sweat. If you don't understand what I mean. So when you start following Jesus, you want to work hard. We were at a camp, a leadership camp, and there's this lady in our church, and we had to write down our hobbies on a piece of paper, and then we needed to share like an icebreaker activity kind of thing. And then she was like, she wrote on her hobbies is to work hard. Everybody laughed at her. But then I'm like, that's actually how I know her. She loves her job. She loves working hard. She loves and enjoy it. And actually, she gets so much done. Whenever there's something that I needed to get done, I will need to get done, I'll ask her. Because she has walked into Jesus. She has encountered Jesus and the curse is lifted. Now a job is so much fun. Now your studies can become fun because you're doing it with Jesus. Now whatever you do for your mom at home can become fun. Washing the dishes becomes fun when you're in love. I remember when Cornel and I were actually, we were still just going out and we were visiting Goose Valley, then Peterbank Bay, if you know. So the whole family was there. And then I, Amor, did the very noble thing, volunteering to wash all the dishes of the whole extended family. Wow, what an amazing man I am. But I so much enjoy it. Why? Because I was in love with my wife. And she was doing it with me. There was no hard work at all. I would never have done that at home. Never. But I did it because I love my wife. And obviously I want to impress the in-laws a little. But you understand, when you're in love with somebody, when you're in love with God, there's no, the effort's like, yes, it was hard work. Yes, man, I slept only a few hours at night. But no, you don't want to talk about the sacrifice. You don't want to talk about the person that you're serving. That is where we need to get to. That hard work is actually just an act of love towards God. And Christ, Jesus, took away that curse. So hard work causes, Proverbs 10 verse 4 says the following, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Huh? I love it, and that's very clear. Let's read it again. Lazy hands, read it to the person next to you. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read a scripture that your mom probably quoted to you when you were younger. Let's listen to this. Proverbs 6 verse 6. You can turn there if you want to. It's actually, just write the scripture down. It's amazing scripture. If you're a mom, do you want to read it? Amen. Yeah, they stole it from the church, huh? Yes. So they must pay us in Mr. Price vouchers, buddy. Okay, let's go. 6 verse 6. Go to the, and your sluggard, and the Afrikaans said it, your luiaard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Daar is nie 'n ma wat oor hom kyk nie. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Okay? Biggie slammer, biggie slop. Who of you, your mom have probably quoted this to you, eh? You're lying there on the couch, 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, your mom comes in like, biggie slammer, biggie slop. Huh? My mom did that, eh? Actually, what she's saying to you, if you don't wake up, you're going to get poor. She's just quoting the scripture here. Okay, so if we work hard, God will find ways to bring wealth to us. And it's not only wealth in terms of riches, money. It's wealth in terms of health, in terms of favor with people, favor with God. If we work hard. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6 to 12, but I actually want you to read it with me. So get your Bibles out. We love the Word of God in this house. Or get your cell phone out. It's right at the end after Colossians, if you do. So I'm going to read from verse 6. So Paul is writing to his disciples. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle, who is idle and disruptive, and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle, ons nie leeg gelê nie, when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model, just a Mr. Price model, for you to imitate. For even we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. Okay, I want to focus on verse 7. It says, for you yourselves know that you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. So Paul is discipling these people. He's saying, yes, pray in the Spirit. Yes, pray for the sick. Yes, pray for healing. Yes, know the Scriptures, but also follow us as we follow Jesus. And one of the things that we are very serious about is to not be lazy, to really work hard. And we have gone even to the place where we don't actually ask anything of you. We just want to preach and we work. Paul himself, he wasn't a full-time minister. He didn't get his money from people that he was ministering to, although he did get some money, but he also a tent maker, the Bible says. So he made tents so that he can be supported by that money to do and preach the gospel. So it's actually something that we need to lead out wherever we are. How does a Christian work? He works hard. And he works excellently. Wow, that guy, he must be a Christian. He works so hard. He's not idle. He must be a Christian. Wow, he loves people. Wow, but he works so hard. That's amazing. I'm going to follow him. If you don't set an example of working hard, you're not setting the full example of Christ. We need to get the whole package right. Yes, I love people. Be welcoming. Be hospitable. People are the most important thing. If you look at Martha and Mary Magdalene, Jesus rebuked Martha for just doing the dishes and not focusing her attention on him. He rebuked her. He said, hey, I'm the priority. So that's where we start. But we should work hard. So let's look at a couple of keys to this thing. Jesus is the key. Don't know what the answer of the question is, but Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the key. He opens the door to God's rest. Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. That's amazing, amazing scripture. So God says, I'm going to take away the curse of this working hard thing. I'm going to take away sort of the stinkiness of the sweat. I'm going to allow you to enter the rest of God. And if you are at rest while you work, that's an amazing place to be. Then you, like me, washing the dishes and just be so in love, like, you just want to. You wash the dishes 3 hours straight. You don't mind it. Why? Because I'm in love with my wife. So if you love Jesus, you start entering into his rest. And from a place of rest, you can then work. Okay, so mankind were created on which day? On the sixth day. What happened on the seventh day? Rested. Okay, that's funny. Jesus, God's like, okay, I created you to work. I created you to subdue and to have dominion over this earth, I'm going to show you what you do first. You're going to go to bed, brother. Jy moet nog gaan slaap. Môre is dit groot game. Dis groot game. Slaap. So God says, we're not working for holiday like some of us do. You don't work hard so that you can go on a holiday. No, you work from a place of rest. And what does that mean? We look at it now. It's the presence of God. Numbers 11. Go and read it. It's also a very interesting story. So Moses, the Israelites are like, hey Moses, we need meat. Go and read it. Those Afrikaners, hulle sê, ons het vleis nodig. And Moses is like, God, I'm so burdened by these people and their request. I can't handle it. What does God do? He sends meat. Yes. But first he does something. He takes the Spirit of the Lord that's on Moses and he pours it out on 70 elders. He takes the Spirit of the Lord and pours it out on people. And there's a principle there. It says, you start with the presence of God. You don't start with, hey, where can we shoot the bokkie? Waar kan ons 'n bokkie skiet nie? That's not where you start with the presence, because the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. You start with the presence of God. God says, hey, Moses, start with my presence. Get more people into my presence. That's why when you come to our church, we will worship for an hour, and some people are like, oh man, kan hulle net by die woord uitkom nie? Can't they just get to the place where somebody preaches a message? No, it's so important to start with the presence of God. That's where it starts. Exodus 31, they're looking for artists to build this temple ark for Jesus. What does God do? He pours out his Spirit and says, you have skill now because you have my Spirit. Again, it's the presence of God. And that's what we actually should do with people going to school or to varsity, or you leaving now to go and study. We need to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit, to start with the presence of God, and then you will work harder and more effectively. You'll have a skill, an extra skill. That's possible. That's biblical. Bezalel is the guy's name. And then Psalm 16, it says, right there at the end, it says, the presence, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In Nehemiah 8, so Nehemiah gathers all these people and he says, I'm going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. So he needs people that can work hard. He's like, I need people that can build stuff. Hulle moet goed bou nou. And now some guy, he found the law. And he starts reading through the law. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. What happens to the people? They're like, oh man, we're so sinful. We are the worst followers of God. And they start to mourn and weep. And then God says, hey Nehemiah, stop them. Stop them. Because I need people to work. Tell them to go and drink sweet wine. You're going to agree? You're going to read that. Go and drink sweet wine. And then it says, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, so we enter the rest through Jesus. We're in his presence. What will happen to us? We will receive joy, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And if we need to work hard, but we need to get it from the joy of the Lord. We're not like the Springboks. We're not going to wait until we win, beat the Irish, until we have joy, before we have joy. We're going to be like, we have joy, and therefore we have strength to conquer the Irish. That's the difference between the world and Christianity, is that you start with joy. Because Jesus already conquered the cross. He says that he, because of the joy that was set before him, He could endure the cross. He could endure the suffering. So now we're on the other side. We're on this side. We are in his joy. If you're in Jesus, you are in his joy. And therefore, you have strength to go and work hard. But if you don't have joy, you cannot work hard. Do you get this? And then, okay, let's end off by saying this. Basically, 2 points. So the first one is, work hard and don't be lazy. Jy like my quote op hierdie ene. Daar in daai kerk sê hulle, werk hard en moenie lui wees nie. Dit is, that's so, sometimes it's, the Bible is just so clear. Jesus is so clear. Laziness is from the devil. Sê dit so vir jou langs jou. Leigheid. In Afrikaans, we have this saying, it says, ledigheid is die duivelse oorkussing. Wie van julle het al dit gehoor? Okay, this is where it comes from. Okay, then this is very important for me. Remove the curse from your work. If you are like, oh man, I just can't get out of bed. I'm close to burning out. I have anxiety disorder. And it's a real thing. It's a real thing. People struggle with this a lot, especially if they start working in an environment that's really hostile. It's a real thing. What do you do? You start with rest in God. And how do you get into God's rest? Forgiveness is a tool. Repentance is another tool. Repent of your sin. Repent of your laziness. Just repent of that. How do you repent? You say, God, I'm sorry. And you walk around. You're like, I will wash the dishes. And you go and wash the dishes. You say sorry and you go and do what you feel you need to do to be obedient. It's sometimes as easy as that. And that's entering into the rest of God. Repentance brings refreshment. Go and read Acts, I think 3:17-16, around there. But also forgiveness. You need to forgive other people. If you're in an environment, hostile environment, people are treating you badly because they don't know Jesus, you probably need to forgive them every day. And if you're not going to forgive them, you're going to take on that burden, and that's also going to lead you to burnout. Bad relationships, man, just steals all the joy. And if you don't have joy, you don't have strength. And then a very important thing, some of you need to forgive yourself. And you say, I missed that opportunity. I was disobedient to whoever, my husband, my mother, my father, lecturer. I'm lazy. I miss so many opportunities. I'm already at 44, 50. Most of you are that age. You're like, no. Sorry, Jesus. But please allow me to forgive myself. Je moet jezelf vergeven. And then that's how you enter into his rest. And then prioritize his presence. They say, if you don't know what to do, just worship. That's basically prioritizing his presence. Put off 5M. Put off whatever music you're listening to and say, okay, God, I'm going to prioritize your presence. And then the last one is, watch your joy levels. And it's something that I really take seriously. If I feel like something is stealing my joy, I usually like, oh God, what is stealing my joy? Because without joy, I don't have the joy of the Lord. I don't have strength, so I can't work hard. And I know it. In order for us to get where God wants us to go to, is we need to work hard. I'm like, God, what is stealing my joy? Oh, it's a sin. Kan jy dit glo? Die pastoor het gesondig. Oh God, I didn't watch for that thing. Oh, sorry, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I forgive myself for this thing. Or, God, I forgive that person. Lord, I just release that person with that offense. Or, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesus. God, can I? I'll just phone my dad. Or I'll speak to Luke and we pray about it. And then what happens? Like, wow, the joy of the Lord's restored. Like, I've worked with my wife. You know what's the worst thing working with your wife? Is when you have unresolved issues. It steals all the joy, all the energy, you get nothing done that day. Why? Not because you're not a hard worker, not because you can do the job, you can do the job. No, no, just because it's unresolved issues. So just sort that out and then go for gold. Work hard, build your iron chariot so that the kingdom may come. So we need to do that. Let's stand. Great. Okay, if you feel a little convicted, I'm feeling convicted here. Okay, so I'm gonna call people forward. If you, the presence of God, that's the most important thing. That's where hard work starts, with the presence of God. And one of the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. So if you feel like you burned out, you have anxiety disorder, you just have stress and it's overwhelming, or there's a cycle in your life and you just can't get through it. You feel guilty about so many things, but there's so many burdens on you. You don't feel the joy of the Lord. Maybe a little, maybe there's nothing. Then I want you to come forward and we're gonna pray for you. And then afterwards, we're also going to pray for people for healing. So if you want to come into the presence of God, come into the rest of God, because that's where we start. I'm going to call you forward. Thank you, Jesus. Clyde and all the leaders, if you can also come forward. Thank you, Jesus. So if you guys can just, if the leaders, if you can just grab somebody. We're going to ask you, first, you're going to confess this thing. You're going to say, I confess this, God. I'm not working. I'm not playing out of your rest. And then the person's going to pray for you. We're going to trust that God release you. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Greta, Philip, if you can also come and help pray.